Well, we're continuing in our series as we're just talking about improving our serve. And today, the title of my message is moving from serve us to service. Moving from serve us to service. Has anybody ever asked you the question, what is your ministry in the kingdom of God? Have you ever asked anybody that question and got that deer in the headlights look like, I got a ministry in the kingdom? I didn't even know that. Maybe some of you have got that deer in the headlights look like right now, like panic, like, oh man, if I had to answer that, I don't even know what I'd say. I want to promise you, God has a ministry for you. I'm not saying quit your job and move to Africa and be a missionary. There's a lot of other different ways that we minister in the kingdom of God. Ministry should flow out of giftedness. Let me ask you another question. Do you know what your spiritual gift is? Hey, I got at least one yes. I hope that there's a lot more folks in this room. You know what you're gifted to do. And there are different ways that we help you find that. If you're like, I'm really uncertain, we've got a gift inventory, a little gift test that we can give you that'll help you out. But I tell you, one of the best ways to just figure out your spiritual gift is, what is it that you love doing and you're good at and other people affirm you when you do it? And you find joy in it. Then use that gift. That's something that God has gifted you with. If you got a beautiful voice and you're gifted in that, then use it for the glory of God and sing. If you don't have a beautiful voice, then sing in the shower, you know? If you have a gift of teaching, find somebody that you can just pour into and teach them and love them. If you've got a gift of serving, find a place that needs some mopping or some cleaning or some whatever else it is, and just serve in the kingdom of God. The reason I ask these questions is because it's really fundamental to who we are as believers and what we believe here at Spirit Life Church. We really do believe that every believer has spiritual gifts that you've been given by God. And we believe that every believer needs to be plugged in and finding their place where they can use their gifts in some ministry serving others. And I asked the question, what is your ministry in the kingdom? I didn't say, what's your ministry in the church? See, I was very intentional about that because the kingdom is so much bigger than just the church. And yeah, sometimes we use our gifts in the church, and that's wonderful. But there are times where our gifts need to be used in other places outside of the kingdom of God. Listen to what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, familiar to many of you, verses 11 and 12. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now that's five of the fivefold ministry gifts, but there's probably another, depending on how people count them, another 10 or 15 gifts that are listed in the body of Christ, different kind of giftings that we have. These particular gifts are for a very specific purpose, and that is to help all of the other believers to really find, to fulfill, and to be using their gifts in the kingdoms. Look at what it says in verse 12, that these guys and gals are for the equipping of the saints for the work of the, say it with me, ministry. That you, the saints, have a work of ministry to do for the edifying of the body of Christ. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 17, probably not a verse of scripture that any of you have ever memorized. It says, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Anybody know who Archippus was? Neither do I. But that's the point. Here's a guy who's named by name in the Bible. We don't know anything about him. We don't know what he did. We don't know anything other than the fact that Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gave an encouragement to him that he was to fulfill the ministry that God had given him. I don't know what that ministry was. I don't know if he was a teacher. I don't know if he was a musician. I don't know what it was, if he was great with children or with youth. I don't know what his ministry was, but whatever it was, this guy that we don't know anything else about, his name appears in the Bible with this encouragement to take heed to the ministry that God had given him. Fulfill the ministry. Do it. Why? Because you're going to find so much joy, so much fulfillment. It's the best thing in the world to be doing what God has created you to do. We do know about another young man in the Bible by the name of Timothy. He got two letters from the Apostle Paul. He's a pretty important guy. And Paul would write to him at one point and say, make full proof of your ministry. Make full proof of your ministry. We're talking about serving. We're talking about improving our serve. And a part of improving our serve is understanding who we are, what we've been created to be, and how we best serve in the kingdom of God. When I think about serving and full service in the kingdom, I'm reminded of gas stations way back when. Anybody, there's a few of you in the room who remember gas stations when they were full service gas stations. A couple of you remember that. Others of you, you'll read about it, you know, in stories. Yeah, there was a time, once upon a time, 1,000 years ago, when you pulled into a gas station and people actually pumped your gas for you. I'm telling you, it's true. It really happened. I remember that because my grandfather, when I was a young boy, my grandfather had a little country store. It was one of those, you can get everything. You bought your groceries, you got everything there, And he had a couple of gas pumps out in the front of his store. His little store is in a little community called Vander, North Carolina. Anybody ever heard of Vander, North Carolina? My daughter's here. Yes, she's heard of Vander, North Carolina. Vander is one of those big places that has got one post in the ground. On one side of the post, it says Vander. On the other side of the post, it says Vander. I mean, it's a big place. That post was in the front yard of my granddaddy's country store. And I remember one summer that I spent about 4 weeks with my granny and my granddaddy, and I would work in the country store with him. I don't think I was of any use. I probably ate more candy and drank more pop than the work that I actually did while I was there. But it was a great learning experience for me. I learned things like how to stock a shelf. Did you know that when you stock a shelf, you take all of the old stuff off, you dust the shelf, you dust all the old cans, you put the new cans in the back, and you turn the labels facing the front, and then you put the old cans in front of the new cans with the labels facing the front. Anybody else know about that? Yeah. Aren't you glad you had grandpas that taught you that? Okay, it was Walmart. Yeah. But I learned that as a kid, and some other really great things about working with my granddaddy in that store. But one of the things that would happen is every once in a while you'd hear that ding ding as the car drives over the little hose in the parking lot, and it was one of my jobs was to go out and ask somebody how much gas they needed. This was in the days before there was any unleaded gas. It was just regular or high test. There was no such thing as unleaded. I know some of you think I'm making this up, but really, some of the older folks in the room, you'll attest that everything I'm saying really is true. And so you'd go out there, and oftentimes they would get out of their car and they would say to you, fill her up. Yeah, that was what they said, fill her up. It was a full gas station. They would go inside, do their shopping, and I would fill up the gas tank, and I would check the oil, check air pressure, windshield wiper fluid, all that kind of stuff. If they were low on oil, I'd come back in and say, hey, you're a quart low. You want me to put some oil in? I'm having a flashback. This was on the days before you had the little twist-off oil plastic things. I'm talking about when oil came in a round canister like this with a metal top on it, and you had to shove the spout down into the top. Come on. Some of you remember what I'm talking about. Yeah. You still got one of those spouts. Can't find a can to put it in, but you still got the spout. Yeah. It was about service. It was about full service. It was about you come here and we're going to take care of every need in your life. Well, not every need, but at least we'll fill up your tank. You know, times changed and gas stations changed. And some of you may remember where there were two lines in the gas station. One was full service and the other was self-service. You remember that when it changed? Yeah, now you get to choose. Am I going to save a few bucks and pump my own gas? Or am I still going to pull up and say, fill her up and just sit there and let somebody do everything for me? And as I was thinking about that, I was thinking about it as in terms of church. And what is our attitude when it comes to church? And in terms of what kind of service are we looking for? Are we looking for a full service? I just come in and you just take care of every need that I've got. You fill my oil tank with the Holy Ghost oil. You just, you know, fill my gas tank with the power of the Holy Spirit. You pour into me and give to me and bless me. And I just walk away just full. Or do we come to church with an attitude of we're here to serve others? Because there's so many needs and so many lives, and I've got gifts that God has given me, and I'm uniquely qualified to do some things that maybe nobody else can do, and I see things nobody else sees, and I can help in ways that nobody else helps, and that we become the kind of a church that really is a full service gas station, if you will, a full service station. Wouldn't it be great if our community around us, that the Hope Valley community, that the Tulsa larger metropolitan area, knew that Spirit Life Church is a full service kind of a church? They will meet your needs, but the way that we do it is that as people come in getting their needs met, little by little they begin to transition from getting my needs met to meeting the needs of others. See, I think that's really the natural progression of what's supposed to happen. When we first get saved, when we first begin to attend a church, we come and we really don't have a whole lot to give out. We really don't know a lot about the Bible, a whole lot about Jesus. And so I'm just here to learn. I need you to pour into me right now. Get me built up, strengthen me, help me out. But somewhere in the process, we begin to transition where it's not just about me and bless me and help me and give me, but it's what can I do to be a blessing to others? And that transition begins to happen as we're growing and we're maturing and we're becoming more and more like Jesus and less like the infants, the babes in Christ that we start out as early believers. And James talks about faith, and he says this in verse 14 of chapter 2, what's the use of saying you have faith if you don't prove it by your actions? Faith that doesn't show itself by good deeds is no faith at all. It is dead and useless. I believe that God wants us to be a place of believers. We say that Spirit Life Church is a place to begin, a place to become, a place to belong. Well, the only way you can do all of that is it's got to be a place to believe as well, right? And so we're believers who have faith, but we're putting that faith into action so that we can serve other people. And again, when I say serve, I'm not just talking about serving inside this building, though there are a lot of different ways that you could serve here at Spirit Life Church. Many of you already very engaged in serving in our church. Some of you, every week, you come and you're serving in some kind of a role. And I just want to say thank you and applaud you that you understand your role and you find the joy that comes in serving. Some of you, maybe you're still trying to figure it out. Where do I fit in? What can I do? And if we can help you with that, really, that's what we want to do as well. But I believe that somehow we've got to move from serve us to service. And if we're going to do that, we've got to develop a servant's heart. Some of you would recognize the name Dave Thomas. Dave Thomas was the founder of Wendy's, the restaurant Wendy's. And there's a picture of Dave Thomas on one of their annual reports. And Dave Thomas is wearing an apron down to his knees, and he's got a mop in one hand and a plastic bucket in the other. And Dave Thomas describes that picture, and he said, I received my MBA before I got my GED. And then he explained that. He said, at Wendy's, MBA does not stand for Masters of Business Administration. At Wendy's, MBA stands for Mop Bucket Attitude. He said, I had a mop bucket attitude. Here's one of the most successful businessmen. What made him so successful? What gave him a great life was he had that mop bucket attitude that he came to life, he came to work, he engaged in life with an attitude of, I'm not here so you can serve me, I'm here so I can serve you. And if there's a spill over there, I'm not too good to grab the mop and the mop bucket and to head over there and clean it up. Let me tell you about somebody else that had an MBA. His name was Jesus. Jesus had a mop bucket attitude. Jesus understood what it was to serve. We talked about it last week. We read that scripture where Jesus said, I came not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. Jesus had that mop bucket attitude. And there's no scripture that really defines that any better than the story that John tells in John chapter 13. Let me show you how John introduces this story. You're gonna recognize the story, but you gotta hear the first verse that introduces the story. In John chapter 13, verse 3, John says this: Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything and that he had come from God and would return to God. You got to get that. This is the setting. This is the foundation upon which this story is laid, is Jesus knows who he is. Jesus understands his identity. Jesus gets it. I am the Son of God. I came from God. I'm going back to God one day. And in the meantime, he knows that he's been given authority over everything. What do you think Jesus does with that understanding? You think he walks out and throws up his hands in the air and just commands a bunch of miracles? That's not what happens in this story. With Jesus understanding who he was, look what happens. It says, so, because he understood who he was, so he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that he had around them. Listen, Jesus knew who he was. And he was not too good to get down and to wash his disciples' feet. And in case they missed it, in case they didn't quite understand it, after it was all over with, verse 12 picks up the story. After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and he sat down and he asked, do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I've given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. If we're going to improve our serve, if we're going to improve how we serve the Lord, if we're going to improve how we serve one another in the body of Christ, if we're going to improve how we serve our community, how we serve this city, then we're going to have that MBA. We're going to have that attitude of Jesus, that mop bucket attitude. We're going to have to move from serve us to service. And I think that in the few minutes that I've got left, I want to share with you four quick things that I believe that are important to develop that kind of a servant's heart. Number one, you need to develop a volunteer spirit. Develop a volunteer spirit. A spirit of volunteerism that says, I'm here, put me in, let me serve, let me do it. You need some help, I'm here to help. Not a recruitment spirit that says, well, if you ask me enough and you put the guilt trip on me enough, then maybe I'll begrudgingly finally do something. I'm glad that here at Spirit Life Church, we've got a volunteer spirit. We got people like Isaiah, who had that encounter with God, and afterwards he said, here I am, Lord, use me. Thank God for those of you who are here today who are working and serving, and you've got that volunteer heart, that volunteer spirit that says, you don't have to pay me anything. You don't have to do anything special for me. You don't have to acknowledge me. You don't have to put my name in lights anywhere. If I can serve, if I can help, you just tell me. Thank God for folks who have that volunteer spirit. The Bible speaks of that in Psalm 110 and 3, where it says, your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power. You know, the opposite of having a volunteer spirit is where you want to volunteer others. Where you're like, well, can't somebody else do it? Don't raise your hand, but how many times have we tried to put it off on somebody else? Poor old somebody else. They get tasked with pretty much everything, don't they? That guy, somebody else. Aren't you glad that your name is not somebody else? Because somebody else can do it for sure. For sure, somebody else ought to do it. Listen to this story about somebody else. There's a clever young guy named somebody else. There's nothing this guy can't do. He's busy from morning till way late at night, just substituting for you. You're asked to do this and you're asked to do that, and what is your reply? Get somebody else to do that job. He'll do it much better than I. Let's give somebody else a break. How about that? Let's just let somebody else sit down for a moment and get a rest, and we're going to have a volunteer spirit. Number two, if we're going to really serve the Lord and improve our serve, you're going to have to put others first. Can't be all about you. Really, it can't be. Why don't you just turn to somebody, because you've been wanting to say this for a long time. Just turn to somebody and just tell them it ain't about you. Yeah, some of you, that just felt so good. Oh, that just felt so good. You really wanted to tell them that it really ain't all about you. We needed to hear that. We don't need to tell that to somebody else. We need to hear that told to us. Some of you have heard the acrostic for the word joy, J-O-Y, that J is Jesus first, the O is others second, and the Y is yourself last. The secret to joy, putting Jesus first, others next, and putting yourself last. There is great joy that happens when we learn what it is to really serve others. And quit asking, what's in it for me? And how can I be a blessing to you? Listen to what Paul says to the Philippians in chapter 2, beginning at verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. I want you to realize in this room today that if we take on what Paul says that we're supposed to take on, the attitude that he says that we're to embrace, everybody in this room is more important than me. Everybody in this room, every one of us can say that everybody else in this room is more important than me. Verse 4, not looking to your own interest, but to each of you to the interest of others. It's not what I like. It's not what I want. What do you like? What do you want? What's good for you? How can I make your life better? In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even the death on a cross. Lord, give us that MBA attitude that Jesus had. That leads me to the third point, and that is humble yourself. We've got to humble ourselves. We see that right there, what we were just reading, where Jesus humbled himself, became obedient unto death. He humbled himself, took upon himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man. I mean, Jesus in heaven, being worshipped by the angels, and he becomes a man to be spat upon and mocked. He humbled himself for us. We've got to have a mindset that says, I'm not better than anybody else. I'm here to serve. It doesn't matter if I have a PhD and you don't even have a GED. It doesn't matter. I'm here to serve. It doesn't matter if I've written 5 books and you've never even written your name. It really doesn't matter because I'm just here to serve. It doesn't matter if I live in a gated community and you live in a cardboard box. It really doesn't matter because I'm just here to serve. It doesn't matter if I drive the latest, most expensive car or if you don't have one at all. It doesn't really matter. I'm just here to serve. We've got to have that heart, that attitude of humility that says, I'm here to be a blessing, and it doesn't really matter who anybody else is. And finally, we need to start meeting the needs around us. Meet the needs around you. And this is where it goes back to my opening question. It's not just about what can you do in the church, what's your ministry in the church. It's what's your ministry in the kingdom of God. It's recognizing that everywhere you go, you're bearing the light of Jesus Christ. I heard someone share yesterday about how that they had been to someone's house and had seen that their bushes were overgrown to the point that they needed them trimmed back, that the person wasn't able to do that. And if it was raining, they would have to walk out on the dirt in the mud just to get into their door. And so instead of saying, wow, you know, that's something that ought to be done, somebody else ought to surely do something about that, within that week, they found some help, and one evening they brought all the tools and they trimmed back the shrubbery and cleaned up all of the mess. Can I share with you that I bet that the sermon that those men preached that evening was far better than the one you're hearing right now? Far better. Far better. That's finding a need and saying, I'm here to serve. It didn't happen here inside this building, but it happened because it was a need. I just want to encourage us to develop that kind of heart that says, I am here to serve. Let me wrap it up by just giving you really quickly 4 fast action steps. Number 1, serve whenever you can. Number 2, serve wherever you can. Number 3, serve whoever is in need. And number 4, be willing to do whatever it takes. Would you stand with me this morning? Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you that you gave us that example of the MBA, the mop bucket attitude. You who are willing to humble yourself and Lord, came to this earth not to be served, but to serve. And Lord, and in doing that, you gave us that example. Even when you were washing the disciples' feet and you said, likewise, you need to do this to one another. Lord, help us to improve our serve. Lord, to be more effective. Lord, help us to recognize that it's not about me and my wants and my desires, but Lord, that when I look around, there's so many hurts, there's so many needs, there's so many problems that can be solved, and just maybe, Lord, you gifted me and gave me the key that unlocks that door that helps somebody else out. Lord, I thank you that here at Spirit Life Church that there are so many people who have already grasped this truth. They understand it. Lord, whether they're serving in our kids ministry, in our youth ministry, on our media team, in our worship team, if they're in our connections department, Lord, whether they stand at the door or greet folks, or Lord, 1,000 other ways that people serve here at Spirit Life Church. God, I thank you for each one. Lord, if there are those who are sidelined and they need to get back in the game, Lord, would you just speak to them, Holy Spirit, and show them where it is that they can be a blessing. Lord, if there are new people that are in our church, Lord, and they're growing and they're maturing and they're becoming more like Jesus, and Lord, they're moving beyond those infancy days of being a babe in Christ, and they're beginning to understand, wow, there's something that I can do. Here's a gift that God has given me. This is something I can do that brings joy others, then Lord, I pray that you would help us to help them to find that place and get plugged in. Lord, help us all to be the servants that you called us to be. And Lord, that begins by being a servant of yours. It begins by surrendering our life to you and letting you be our master and our Lord. And I would just pray right now, Lord, as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, here in this building and watching online, maybe there's somebody that the next step that you need to take, the next thing that you need to do is to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, to make him your Savior. It's so easy to confess your sin, to acknowledge that we're sinners, we've all sinned, we've all come short of the glory of God, to understand that the wages, the penalty of our sin is death, and that death is really hell. But we don't have to die in our sin and go to hell because God loved us so much that he sent his son Jesus who humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death on the cross. He died in my place, in your place. He paid the penalty for our sin. And if we would just fall upon the mercy of Jesus and say, Jesus, would you save me? He'll do it. He'll save you today. All you have to do is ask. All you have to do is just pour out your heart and believe and trust in him. Is there anybody here that makes sense to you today? Because that's what you need to do right now. Is you need to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus and ask him to save you. Would you just raise your hand because I'd love to pray with you. Yeah, I see that hand. Anybody else? Anyone else? I need to surrender my life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I want us to pray all over this place today. And if you raise your hand, I want you to pray it from your heart and ask Jesus to come in to forgive you. If you're online today, you can pray this prayer right where you are. It's simple. It's just like this. Dear Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner. I'm lost without you. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross in my place. Thank you for paying the penalty for my sin. Lord, I ask you today, forgive me. Come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Help me to live for you for the rest of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer and saving me today. Amen. Amen. Come on, Spirit Life Church. We believe in rejoicing and salvation. You made that decision, you're the most important person in the room today. The Bible says that heaven rejoices more over one sinner that comes to repentance than over 99 others that don't need it because they're already saved. Heaven's rejoicing over your decision today. And we just want to encourage you as our prayer team comes and joins me here at the front. We're about to close our service. If you made that decision, we'd love to pray with you, put some information in your hands that'll help you as you're walking in the Lord. If you're watching us online this morning, let us know. Put it in the comment section that you just gave your heart to the Lord. We'll reach out to you, give you some information, help you to get going strong in your walk with Jesus. Come on, church, let's pray together and let's determine that when we leave this place, we're going to move from serve us to service. Lord, we thank you for the example that you set. We love you, Jesus. We ask, God, that you give us all the MBA this morning. Make us mop bucket attitude Christians, Lord, who are ready to serve in the kingdom of God, doing whatever it is that you've called us to do and gifted us to do. And Lord, I thank you for these that have made the decision for Christ and ask that you would help them to just keep walking it out, growing in you and becoming everything that you've created us to be. Lord, as we close this service, if there are those who still have needs of prayer, we invite them to come to the front so that we can pray with them. And we still declare that this is a house of miracles. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. Love on somebody before you leave today. Amen. We'll see you next week.